Four-wheel drive helps if I turn it on. How many of you ever had a four-wheel drive vehicle? Anybody in the room, four-wheel drives? How many of you ever taken it and sunk it in the mud and you had to be towed out? Now, I used to go four-wheeling with my brother, Steve. He's been always the one to see what a car can do by itself. He wants to go through two-wheel drive first before he ever puts it in four-wheel drive. And he's even sent me when I was younger saying, go walk through that patch of mud or creek and see how deep it is. And I've sunk up to my head before, and we've done that. So he always wants to see what a truck can do before he has been at four-wheel drive. And my oldest brother, he wasn't always the smartest one. And he came down. He's from Spartanburg, Pauline. And he came down. We decided to go four-wheeling somewhere around here. I can't tell you where in case you own the property. And we decided instead of going around the dirt road like we were supposed to, we thought we'd cut through the cotton patch. And it was a muddy field, rain like today. It had been a soaking rain. And we went through that. Everything was going great. My cousins were in the car from up Spartanburg. And how many of us? There was probably six of us in the car. The Lawsons were with us. And we're cutting through. And everything's fun and dandy. We're throwing mud sky high, all four wheels. And then all of a sudden, it just stops. And go to open the door to get out, and you can't open the door. That's how deep we were in the miry clay. So today, this is a four-wheel drive Psalms I'm going to preach to you today. And we're going to talk about the miry clay. So you'll get that picture. We had to get towed out. Mr. Curtis, some of you know him from New Ellington, Atomic Towing. He's passed now. You boys, you always smoked a short cigar. You boys, I'm going to tell you, if your daddy wasn't a preacher, I'd get you boys law enforcement down here. He'd go at us every time we got towed. He would always give us a lecture on what we shouldn't be doing and what we should be doing. And he was always kind to us as preacher's kids. And he got us out of a lot of miry clay, if you will. And you're going to see that in the Psalms today. So I want you to look at today's Psalm. Today's title is this, simply this. Say continually, the Lord be magnified. So together, I'd like for us to say that at the end. The Lord be magnified. We'll see it your Bible might say, the Lord is great. And this weekend, it's graduate weekend, but also it's Memorial Day weekend. We never want to forget, obviously, we have the freedom to be here today because all those who lost their lives or gave their lives in an act to actually protect us as a country. I don't know what your political stance is, and it doesn't really matter to me, but we do have to oftentimes be reminded and say thank you. Hence the Memorial Day, a memory of remembering what other people have done for you and me that we might have the freedoms that we are able to have today. Yes, we know the freedom comes from Christ. We understand that first and foremost, but people did pay the ultimate price of their lives so they might be here today. So we reflect and look back today and remember. And I would encourage you to teach, as Chris talked about, the next generation, the generation, because oftentimes the further we get away from an episode, the less thankful we become. And same thing about the cross of Christ. The further we get away from Easter and Christmas and the celebrations, we forget sometimes it turns into just celebration versus a time to remember. So let me challenge you today. As we read this passage, David talks about the generations as well, but he's in a time of conflict, and scholars disagree or argue a little bit over what's he going through. Is it when he's running from his son, King Absalom, who was made micro king, if you will, took over? Is he running from him? He's in a time of trouble, or is it the time that he cheated with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, and is he asking for forgiveness, or there's a compilation of things that are happening? So there's an argument about among scholars, and here's what I found that was best when you read the Bible. Don't argue. Just read the Bible. Amen? And if you don't know the context of it, sometimes obviously what's happened, the story behind the story, that's not always a negative, but if you do know it, and obviously it's a positive. You can actually learn from it. But let's take the Psalms today for what it is, Psalm 40, and let's read together. And we're going to read portions, speak a little bit, portions and speak a little bit. But here he is. This is, think of us so country boys waiting on a tow truck. Here we go. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible or muddy pits, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turns aside to lies or to liars. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. It sounds like John, doesn't he? If I wrote everything down in this book, the world couldn't contain it. Verse 6, He transitions a little bit here. This is a messianic, meaning it's pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll show you that in just a moment. And it blows my mind how God can have David write this some 1,000 years before Jesus. And yet he's writing about Jesus. He's looking back. He's looking present. And he's looking future all at the same time. How can God do that? And only God can do that. Use the same text for David, but also to be a prophetic word for the future. Look at, you will see this in a moment. Verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, and my ears you have opened, or you have dug out. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have declared the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed yet your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Now, the psalm is in two parts. Verses 1 through 10 is the first portion. And in verse 11 through 17, he finishes up. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought into dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Your Bible might say, I am afflicted and needy. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word today. Help us to understand we're not King David and we're not Jesus Christ, but Lord, we're to model our lives after your scripture, and Lord, be more and more like Christ day by day as we get closer to your return or seeing you face to face. We love you and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake, amen. I want you to go to your notes if you have a copy of the bulletin today and look clearly. Some people are always trying to figure out the letter of the day. The letter of the day is somewhat compounded today. It's P, the letter P. If it's a graduation Sunday, the letter is brought to you by the letter P, right? Like Sesame Street. Well, David wrote Psalm 40 in two parts. First, as a prayer song of thanksgiving. That's a word I made up. A thanksgiving to God. And then transitioning into a lament and a heartfelt cry for help. He declared the Lord. And by the way, if you notice throughout this psalm, the L-O-R-D is all caps. In your Bible, it's all capital letters. It means the greatest name of God. We call it Yahweh or Adonai. It's the highest name of God as David is actually praying and saying the chief name of God, the highest portion, the highest way of God. Because you know, God has many, many names in Scripture. He's my shield, my rock, my buckler. He has a lot of different, a strong tower. There's a lot of names of God in the Scriptures. But David, as he's praying, as he's lamenting, he's using the highest name of God. Lord, you are in charge. You're almighty. You're all powerful. You're all knowing. Look, you're all present. And where can I go from you? He says in Scripture, Psalm 139. And then here, he's thinking back and saying, look, the Lord. And he's asking out for the Lord to actually do and deliver him. He declared the Lord to be trustworthy and believed with confidence that God would deliver him from his desperate situation. It took some time for David to actually, if this is regarding the issue with Bathsheba, it took some time for him to actually repent. Some scholars say it took up to a year. Could you imagine living a whole year without repenting to God? In the Old Testament, you got to remember this. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not just come and hang out with you like we have him today. We are under grace today. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would visit you. And if you choose to get into sin, he had an assignment for you, and then he would leave. David constantly called, don't let your spirit leave me. And friends, today we don't have to beg the Holy Spirit not to leave us. If we're a Christian, we've been born again. We've given our heart and life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's in me and around me to walk day by day with me. My decisions, and sometimes somebody says, my conscience is bothering me. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't bother you. He corrects you. He'll put a straight whipping on your behind, because we read that this morning, Hebrews 12. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Those that belong to him, he brings about discipline in your life. Many times people get into an argument, well, can a Christian sin? The answer is you have to. Isn't that hard to say? Wait a minute. Why are y'all looking at me like that so piously? You sinned this morning, probably. I can't believe we're having church in the rain or whatever it might be. We complain about the rain. We complain about the hot weather. We complain about the cold weather. Listen, you live in a natural body, so naturally you will sin eventually. You're not perfected until you get to glory, until you get to heaven. We cannot be perfect in this body. So what do? Why do we even bother? Because the Lord says, be holy as I'm holy, says the Lord, right? There's a striving to be like Jesus. And David, as he is asking this prayer of forgiveness, as he talked about his situation, he said, I waited patiently upon the Lord. Have you ever waited patiently for God to do something? I don't know what it might be in your life. If it's physical, financial, emotional, physiological, I don't know what you might have going on, but waiting patiently for the Lord. And if you look at verse 17, hurry up, Lord. Then look at it. Don't we pray like that? Look at it. Do not delay, oh my God, right? Expedite it. It's not wrong to pray that, but waiting patiently is like, I'm good with whatever God says it is. In God's timing, I'm good. And if you're not there, listen, he'll mature you, because guess what he'll do? He'll make you wait. And it's frustrating sometimes as humans if we don't get the big picture of God. And I want to encourage you, as we're actually going through Hebrews, and this is five psalms that warm us up to Hebrews. We're getting to the Hebrews. It's kind of the crush and run to get to Hebrews. It's the idea of we're paving a street to get to Hebrews, and God's doing something, and he's trying to talk to us as an individual, but as a church from the scripture. Remember, from David, King David, to Jesus is about how long? 1,000 years. From Jesus to you and me today, how long has it been? 2,000 years. So you and I are reading a 3,000-year-old text. And does it apply to us today? Yes, because God wants us to learn and be trained by his word that we wait patiently upon the Lord. I want you to look and see this. That David found himself in a slimy pit. I like using that word. A miry clay pit of life's troubles. He waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord to act. And God heard his cry. David says, you inclined your ear to me, meaning God listened. Does God hear your prayers? And then a strong question, remember, does God hear my prayers when I pray? If you're not a Christian, God's not obligated to hear your prayers. Just FYI. Don't get upset. He's just not your father. Your father's the devil. It's what Jesus said. There's only two fathers on this earth, God the Father, or you of your father, the devil. So listen, the devil's kids talk to the devil. They might not speak directly to him in a satanic way, but they do his bidding. They do his words, his way. And God's very clear that his people are to actually speak a certain way, to talk to the Father through the Son. And we're actually, listen, encouraged by the Holy Spirit that actually he fixes what we say wrong. So there's only two fathers on earth. And if God is not your father, then I think you know who your daddy is. Amen? Amen? We see people in society, we see how people act, and when people talk about that, let's say abortion is a woman's right to choose, whose father is that speaking? Yeah, that's not God the Father. God the Father said, I knit you together in your mother's womb. I made you very special. I am for life, not for death or choice. It doesn't matter what you do in our society. Our society is going crazy. As we said from Pauline, crazy is a bull bat, right? Society's like, you can identify as a cat. A boy can be a girl, a girl can be a boy. What father is speaking that language? The devil. And if you agree with him, if you're speaking that language, you're agreeing with the father of this earth. God the Father said he made man and female, male and female, in his image. We're image bearers of Christ. When we give our heart and life to Jesus Christ, we're uniquely different. We don't get to change it because we don't like it or don't fit our society. We as Christians are the ones who are sticking out like sore thumbs because we're holding, if you will, we're the bulwark. We're standing there saying, listen, don't let the water, don't let the rush of the winds and the waves knock us down. Stand firm in the name of Jesus Christ. And listen, you ever seen a seawall? They get battered and torn and they have to be repaired. And who's there to walk us through, waiting patiently with us? Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing to see this picture that David waited patiently and expectantly. He expected God to do something. He knew that the word says God does not take a nap. God never sleeps nor slumbers. He does not. I don't know what your picture is when you think of God, an old man up in heaven just taking a nap. That's not who the God of the Bible is. If you look at a picture, you want to see a picture of Jesus, what God looks like, Go to Revelation chapter 1, and we're not going to see it today. Go read and see what he's at. He's active. He's alert. His word is working throughout all life. This 3,000-year-old text, it should be working into your hearts and lives and says, listen, are you waiting patiently upon the Lord? Are you waiting expectantly upon the Lord? Are you waiting for God to do what only God can do? You have to answer that question, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. There's no in between. I think so, or I hope so. It's not an answer. Are you waiting for God to answer your prayers, yes or no? Well, some of your prayers should be, God, would you forgive me a sinner and come into my heart and life? I need to become a Christian. I need to quit playing religion. I need to quit acting this out. Lord, I've been stuck in this miry clay for a long time, and I need you to take me out of it. Would you take me out? And the answer is what? Yes, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. You'll be rescued from your life's horrible situations. You'll be rescued from your sins because David, again, he's the king. And he's wealthy, but he's in trouble, and we'll continue to see that. Look at this in your notes if you go through. David proclaimed that it was the Lord, the highest name of God, the rock of his salvation. And by the way, if you go through the Bible and just do a search and look for how many times the Lord Jesus Christ or God is called the rock of our salvation, the rock. He's a strong tower. This is our God who lifted him up out of the pit of despair. It was God who set his feet on the solid ground and established his steps forward. Chris read the scripture this morning, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I jokingly told you about the story of us going mudding and four-wheeling. Listen, did we know the path straight? When we got stuck so bad, did we know the path straight? The answer is yes. There was a dirt road right beside where we were supposed to go. It was obvious what most thinking humans would do. And y'all know teenagers don't always think properly. On this graduation Sunday. Amen? And so we just thought it'd be great to go through that big mud puddle and to cut the field. Freshly plowed field, but it rained heavily. And y'all know the rest of the story. What would y'all call all of us when we were out there? We're climbing out, falling into the mud. And we're like, oh my word, I'm sinking up. The axles were covered. The wheels are covered. We were sunk in the miry clay. Why? Well, it wasn't my fault. I was riding. I was a kid. I can say because of my stupid brothers, what I can say was my problem, right? My oldest brother, he wasn't driving. And my crazy oldest brother was driving, and I could blame him. Do we not do that often? Because we're having fun with all the party. Guess what we're doing? Woo, woo. Oh, man, we're going to die. What'd you do this for, right? We like to take those fingers out and point. But here's what God wants us to see this morning. David's situation, he pointed his finger out. He said, listen, there's an enemy. And if this is about when his son Absalom was taken over, guess who made Absalom who Absalom was? King David. King David was a great man after God's own heart, but he was a terrible father. He was a miserable father. He did not correct his children like he should. He married multiple wives. He cheated and had a man killed because of a woman. He was a terrible father. Instead of correcting himself, in that situation, he just let things go, and his son coup d'etat him and run him out of town and tried to kill him. He did a lot of other things. If you read the Old Testament, there was a lot of things, shameful things that his son did. But it was David who was the father. Did he provide the kingdom? Yeah, he was a king. He was rich. Absalom, his son, had everything except the love of his father. And many times, that's what we need sometimes, just the love of mother and father. And we said, it can be all right, our love from each other. Well, look, David's heart was refreshed eventually. In joy, he praised God. His confidence in the Lord grew stronger, and he became a bold witness of God's goodness. You go back and look down at verse 9. He said, I proclaimed in the great assembly. I told people about how good God is, how God delivered me from my situation. And we don't know his situation until he keeps talking, and he keeps writing. And as he keeps writing, he tells us what his situation was. What was his hang-up? What was his hold-up? He had these terrible people coming against him. He had somebody trying to kill him. He calls them his enemies. This morning in a small group in Bible Catalyst, we called him them. They were coming against him. Who were they? Yes, it was them, right? The proper pronouns, them and they, for multiple people, not for identification of one person. So we come back and say, it was the enemy that was coming against him. Woe is me. The enemy's coming out, wagging their fingers. Aha, aha, we got him now. But then he also says, it was my what? It was my sin. My sin had piled up. Just like mud, the sin had piled up. I'd been wide open going through sin. I was going through that. How do you fall into a muddy pit unless you begin the journey down the road? Because water always goes to the path of least resistance. Did you know that? That's hydrology 101, is it not? Water always goes down to the path of least resistance. Is it going to be muddier on the top of the hill or muddy at the bottom? And when you start a downward spiral of life and you start going down the hill of despair, you start going down that road of sin, guess what you're going to end up in? The pit of despair. Every single time you go downhill, when it's raining, listen, and it's always raining, you're going to end up in that muddy pit and you're going to be stuck. Help! Help! And your enemy's going to walk by and go, aha, aha. The people that are hanging with you, running with you, and even in the scriptures, New Testament, they says they ask, why don't you even run with us anymore? Isn't that a terminology we still use today? That comes from the Bible. Why don't you run with us anymore? When you get saved, everybody wants to know, why don't you run with me no more? Why don't you run with the group anymore, or the gang, or whoever it might be? You don't run with us or hang with us anymore. Because where are they in their life? Take a look. Take an obvious look at family and friends, those around you, the coworkers, those who love to do what they love to do, and look where their life is. They made millions of dollars. Where's their family? Listen, they're very successful in this, but what did they leave in their wake? And typically it's destruction. Success in the world's way usually always leaves destruction in your path. And it's family, and it's friends, it's coworkers, it's other people that know you and love you or did love you at one point in time. Well, look what he did. He pronounced a blessing on all who trust in the Lord and do not seek guidance from the proud or from those who speak lies. And I told you, a vernacular where we're from is, I tell you what I do. That's usually the wrong advice. We had some friends and families that would tell you, I tell you what I'd do if I was you. Well, number one, they're not you. And number two, don't seek your advice from those that aren't following Christ closely. Because the ones who spread lies, the ones who are very proud, those are the very ones who got David in the miry pit. And now they're trying to tell him how to get out. And if you're forward-willing with somebody and they're stuck in their spot and you're stuck in their spot, do you really want to listen to the guy who's stuck right beside you? No, but do we do it all the time? Do we not? We'll go play a game of golf, or we'll go sit down and talk with somebody, and they're like, my life's terrible, but let me tell you what I'd do with you if I was you. Don't take their advice. Get out of the house, drink their tea, and leave, or whatever it is, right? Don't hang around somebody who's going to tell you, I'll tell you what I'd do, and their life's miserable. You ever seen single people? My funniest thing is that, and if you are, I apologize this morning, I'm not ashamed of you, but a single person giving a young married couple advice on how to be married? Or someone without children telling us how to have, there's counselors everywhere telling you how to actually manage your children and they don't have any of their own? Ask the question next time somebody gives you advice, whatever you're asking on. Hey, if you're single and getting married, are you married? Well, no. You don't have a lot to say to me, right? If I was you, I'd just go to the Bible. And what does the Bible say about marriage? It tells us, Ephesians 5, if you want to look, there's instructions. And if they don't have children, it's hard to listen. I tell you what the psychologists have said. Well, the Psychiatric Association of America would have put all of our brothers and sisters in a psychiatric ward. I believe we were a crazy bunch. We fought constantly. Did we not, Mom? My mother's here. She stuck us with needles when we were kids. Well, she stuck me. Did she, Steve? Yeah. She said, don't you ever tell that story again at church. I just told it because she did it to me, right? Statute of limitations have run out, but she did it. She used whatever she could use to control us because we would nan, we would hold her, we were getting stronger than her, we would do anything. She'd be repairing something, and she always kept, how many keep a needle in your curtain in the kitchen? Anybody do it? Edwina Smith used to. And you never smart off the mama in the kitchen. She's like Zorro. She would actually have that and stick you before you'd ever know what happened. I'll move on because I'm going to get in trouble. She's going to start, aha, aha, wagging at me. God used David's battle as a prophetic foreshadowing of Jesus. Listen, could we look together one more time at verse 6 through 8? Sacrifice and offer you did not desire, My ears you have opened, or you have dug out. You've created a body for me, is the Hebrew. You burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come, and the scroll of the book is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Can we take a journey real quick over to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would, with me just quickly, because this is our laying the groundwork for Hebrews, because we're getting there. We're going to preach through the book of Hebrews coming up shortly, but we have three more Psalms to get through. But Hebrews chapter 10, when you're there, say amen. Y'all beat me. All right, here we go. Go to verse 5, if you would, and let's look at what the Lord says and through the writer of the Hebrews. This is New Testament. This is now moved 1,000 years at least past the time it was written originally. And it's talking about Christ, our high priest. And this is what the Bible says, Christ's death fulfills God's will. Because remember, he said he wanted to do God's will in Psalm 40. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. God placed Jesus Christ into the Virgin Mary's womb. He was born naturally, even though it was supernaturally, and he came into this world. He walked this world like you and I. He was a man like us. He had skin on. He was carnate, right? Pre-incarnate means before skin or before flesh. He was carnate. He walked on this life like us. Then the Bible says, but a body you have prepared for me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. That's of bulls and goats. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of this book, it is written of me to do what? Your will, O God. And you can keep reading previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He, that's Jesus, takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once, how long? And for all, of all times. Jesus Christ has no more sacrifices. I am the sacrificial lamb. We celebrate that. We just celebrate that at our Easter celebration, that Jesus Christ really did die on the cross for our sins, a perfect sacrifice. He really did die and was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he really did rise again the third day according to the scripture. God raised him from the dead. And friends, listen, the Bible says if you would simply place your trust in him and believe what he said about himself, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a beautiful thing, is it not? No works. There's nothing else to do. It's just simply receive and believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He's the one that does the work. He's the one that changes your heart and changes your life. Let's continue as we finish through. That was the prophetic word. Go back to Psalm 40 if you would see. David boldly preached the goodness and faithfulness of God to his generation and to all generations to come. You and I are reading it multiple generations later, and here it is, the same truth that he preached the day that God brought him out of the miry clay. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God's word lasts how long? Forever. Graduates, remember that. God's word, listen, though people tell you everything, professors are going to tell you things that aren't true. We even have a local professor that's teaching that the earth is still flat. That's called higher education. In what department? The earth is not flat. I don't know if you know that. The earth is. The Bible says he formed it upon the sphere. Did you know that? Long before scientists figured it out, Isaiah said the earth was round-ish sphere. Let's continue. I want you to see this as we go through. He longed for God's continued compassion and tender mercy, knowing that God's beautiful loving kindness and truth would what? Preserve him. It would keep him. It was God who could keep him on the path. In the midst of spiritual battles, David cried out for forgiveness of his personal sins and deliverance from those who mocked him and sought his harm. David ran to God and said, listen, I can't come into your presence unless I get myself right. Lord, I want to get right. And he announces his sins before God. He said they were piled up. They were heaped up on him because it's been a while since he confessed his sins. And can I encourage you today? Your sins must be confessed to Jesus Christ, the high priest. There is no mediator here on earth. You can't confess your sins to me. It does no good because one sinner is talking to another sinner about sin. That's of no value. Unless the sinner that you're talking to about your sins says, listen, don't tell me, tell him. Every godly advice that you're going to get from anybody, any man, woman, boy, or girl, listen, that knows anything about God is going to say, listen, Jesus said when you pray, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? As it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And what are we going to ask for forgiveness of? Our debts or trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass or have debts against us. That conversation is directly to God through Jesus Christ because of what he did on the cross. We have access. We have the network, if you will. Now, we're in his network when we're in his grace. And we have the ability to speak directly to him. We don't need any black boxes. We don't need any confession to any other men. It's directly to God, between you and the Father. Listen, he's your high priest. As we read Hebrews, it's going to shock you of what he says don't do and what to do. With confidence, he stirred his own heart in prayer, calling on God to cause all who love his salvation to rejoice and be glad in him. He rallied the faithful, that's you and me, to proclaim together, the Lord be magnified. Can we do that together? Just say it together real loud. The Lord be magnified. Let's try it one more time. That was pretty weak. Ready? The Lord be magnified. Those are the words of the faithful. That was during the Old Testament. Do we still ask for that in the New Testament? Yes, in my life, Lord, be magnified. Be great because you are great. It's not because I say he's great. I say he's great because he's already great. I'm just saying what the Bible says about who God is and who he actually is. And finally, David trusted in the Lord, his ever-present help, his on-time God who rescues his people. Y'all ever heard the song, he's an on-time God? Yes, he is. How many of y'all have heard that song? Okay, you need to, okay, well, I agree. It's a black church song, Adrian, in the right. Adrian, you know it? How does it go? What's the chorus? Come up here, let's do it. Lead us real quick. Let's finish up with this. Come on, we got time. Come here. Just the chorus. We don't need the whole thing. Come on. Who else knows it? Who else knows it? I know it, but I can't sing, so y'all aren't. Just give us the chorus. Barbara, come on down. You know it too. Yeah, we're going to clap. Okay. Don't listen to Mike. Mike said we're a Baptist church. I'm going to follow you. We're going to follow him. All right. He's been on time, God. Yes, he is.
But he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God, yes he is. Oh, he's an on-time God, yes he is. Oh, he's an on-time God, yes he is. Well, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Can you imagine David singing that as he's talking in the, listen, he's telling us in his word, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Amen. Can we pray together? Father God, we thank you for today. Lord, we're reminded as we close the service today of how awesome you are. David said he waited patiently for you, and Lord, you heard his cry. You bent your ear down to listen. You were inclined to hear him. Father, in that, he knew for sure that you were going to help him out of his miry clay. Father, we're going through some things, and these graduates, Lord, they're excited. They're leaving one part of life and going to another part of life, and mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas, friends and family, teachers are seeing them go and transition. And Lord, it's not always easy. But Lord, we know this is the path of life, that you have plans for us. And Father, I pray they would do the very thing that the king's son, the other king, Solomon, wrote. That we trust in the Lord. They would trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge you, Lord, because you're good. And you'll make our paths straight. You're always on time. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.